For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Do you want to make a podcast? Spotify's got a platform that lets you make one super easily. It's called Spotify for Podcasters. It lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard. Video podcasts are also available on Spotify. You know I love that. And I promise you, the other platforms don't offer that. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. And best of all, it's totally free with no catch. I've been using Spotify for Podcasters from the very start. I highly recommend you give it a try. Just don't post on Monday. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started.
Welcome everyone to Monday Match Analysis. I'm Gil Gross, back this week for the start of the clay court season. We'll preview Monte Carlo, and then I'll get to your comments, which I haven't even read yet. Sometimes I lead off, I say, I love your comments, I can't wait to read them. But this time, they're a surprise, so hopefully nothing too crazy. I forgot to mention last week that Miami, in 2018, was the first Monday Match Analysis ever. After the final, when Isner beat Zverev, that was the first show. So last week, or 2 weeks ago, it really was, the 2 weeks ago, Monday Match Analysis was the one-year anniversary, and or in tennis terms at least. I don't know what the date was. I don't really care. But I didn't mention anything, so I thought I'd say something now, because now this Monte Carlo, I believe, was the second ever Monday Match Analysis. So we've kind of finally completed the first go-around, the first full tennis season. Now we're more than a year old. I think I had about 650 subscribers, by the way, when I did my first Monday Match Analysis. So we have come a long way. We had a great year last year. We're having a great start to this year. And I can't wait to keep it going. There's our thumbnail. It's Rafa in his element, Monte Carlo. I think 11 titles does he have here. If I'm off, I'm not off by much. Rafa has been amazing here, just like he's been amazing at a lot of the other clay court master, or all of the other clay court masters events. But look how beautiful this is. It's the mountains on one side of the court, and then you can't see it in this picture, but it's the beautiful blue, I think it's probably a sea. It doesn't look like an ocean on the other side of the court. Monte Carlo is the most beautiful tournament on tour. Absolutely gorgeous. So what we're going to do to celebrate how gorgeous Monte Carlo is we're going to go quarter by quarter, and we're going to preview this thing. Some of these matches, by the way, you'll see, have already been played in the first round. Right now, they're actually wrapping up the first round. So some of my predictions are already correct. Some of them are already wrong. A few of them, at least. But I just left them, because I did this last night, and I just left them be. So you can see where I was right and where I was wrong. Let's start with Novak Djokovic's quarter. The one seed coming off a tough sunshine double. Lost to Philip Kohlschreiber. Lost to Roberto Bautista Agut in the round of 16 in Miami. I believe it was the third round in Indian Wells. But not a good sunshine double. And my opinion on it all was that Djokovic just came in and didn't prepare very well for those tournaments. So we'll see where he is now. But clearly, Djokovic needs to round back into form, because he's out of form. That wasn't just that. I don't think that was him having a bad day, because even if you're in good form, you can have a day where you're in bad form. What we saw, in my opinion, both of those matches, I think that what was revealed to us is Djokovic was in not very good form over there, and it was no coincidence that he lost twice. It was more a matter of his form than a matter of him having a bad day or two. Because one bad day you have, two bad days that bad, that means that you're not fully prepared. The top seeds in Djokovic's quarter are Tsitsipas, Medvedev, and Edmund. Edmund is quite dangerous. I still have Novak Djokovic coming through. The dark horse is the best player who's unseeded in the quarter. And that is clearly in this quarter, Diego Schwartzman, who will be playing Kyle Edmund in the first round. That's going to be a really, really fun match. I nearly put it as my early popcorn match, but I did not. Upset alert is one of the picks that doesn't look so good because Daniil Medvedev just killed Zhao Souza 6-1, 6-1. I didn't see the match. I don't know what happened. But I put Medvedev on upset alert because I want to talk about the clay court surface and Medvedev's game. I don't anticipate that Medvedev's going to be very strong on clay. And I haven't even looked at the numbers. Medvedev was kind of a late bloomer at the end of 2018. So he wasn't fully on the radar during last year's clay court season. But I imagine the clay courts are going to bother Medvedev's offensive output, because his ball stays very low and it skids off the court, and he's the flattest hitter on tour probably, especially, you know, his backhand, which he does the majority of his damage offensively. Well, it's pretty even. He can do damage offensively on both sides, but again, it's flat strokes, and part of the reason they are difficult to defend is because they skid off the court and stay really low, because they're hit so flat and with so little net clearance. On clay, you can't really get the ball to skid unless you're hitting like a serve or you're absolutely destroying a forehand. I mean, it's really hard to get the ball to skid. And the ball loses a lot more pace when you hit it flat. When you hit heavy topspin on clay, the ball can jump off the court and you can actually gain pace from that. You can get the ball to speed up off the bounce like Rafa Nadal does, like Kyle Edmund will do with his forehand. Medvedev, not so much. So I feel like Medvedev's offensive game will be bothered by the clay. That's why I put him on upset alert, but had no problem with Portuguese dirt baller Zhao Souza. So early popcorn is Djokovic and Cole Schreiber. Cole Schreiber took him out at Indian Wells. We'll get a quick rematch in the first round from Djokovic. But mainly the intrigue here is what does Djokovic look like? How's he doing? In the Sunshine Double, he looked like he was having trouble hitting heavy enough. And he looked like he was having fitness problems. And he looked like he was having mental problems in terms of focus, motivation, and fight, which when Djokovic is at his best, he's an A+, 10 out of 10 in focus, motivation, and fight. He's a warrior and a titan out there. Wasn't like that in Indian Wells in Miami. So let's see what Djokovic looks like. He gets a rematch against the same man who took him out. So I'm looking forward to that match. And that is Djokovic's quarter. Let me pull it up, though, just so we can take a look at it in a little bit more depth. Obviously, this wouldn't help really so much for audio. But Fritz is in there. Sanga is in there. Sanga beat Taylor Fritz. Edmund, let's take a look at Edmund, because he's probably the toughest guy for Djokovic. And I know I haven't talked about Tsitsipas, which, whoops. Sorry, this is hard for me to look at. Let me pull it up on my browser. Tsitsipas, I think, is a good clay court player, and he's Djokovic's highest seed. Okay, Edmund, right. Edmund plays Schwartzman in the first round, and that's going to be a really fun matchup. Slight favorite to Edmund there. But that might be Djokovic's first real test. I think Djokovic has a tough draw. I think Tsitsipas as your highest seed, I think you could do worse than that. And then I think to have Schwartzman and Edmund right there. But I see Djokovic coming out of it because I think he's had some time now, and I think he comes out of it. I think he'll look better than he did in the U.S. Dominic Thiem's quarter. You got Khachanov, Gauffin, and Basilashvili. Karen Khachanov is Dominic Thiem's highest seed on the other side. It's a very good draw for Thiem because Thiem hits just as big as Khachanov. He's just more mobile than Khachanov and has more quickness around a clay court. And yes, Khachanov moves well for his size, but the key there is for his size. So Thiem has a good draw there. I want to talk quickly about Karen Khachanov's forehand on clay. It's that, and I saw on Twitter someone say that Khachanov's forehand is not good for clay. Quite the contrary. He'll have more time to load up his forehand, and he likes time to load up his forehand on clay. The ball bounces higher on clay. He's a good high ball hitter, especially on his forehand side when the ball stays low. That's what gives him trouble. And he hits heavy topspin on his forehand, so the ball will kick up more on clay. So I think Khachanov has what it takes to actually have... I know he's an aggressive player, but the way his strokes are designed, the mechanics of his strokes should work really well for clay. So I wouldn't be surprised if Khachanov does meet Dominic Thiem in the quarterfinals here, which would be a good result for Khachanov considering his struggles so far. Dark horse, Martin Fucsovics, who played Basilashvili in the first round. This was one of the upsets that I got picked, that I picked correctly, because Fucsovics won in three sets. I mean, he's got great fitness. I think he's one of the most fit guys on tour, and that'll be rewarded on clay. When players have trouble finishing points quicker, when there's more point construction, when there's more neutral rallying, that will favor the more fit player, the player who is less likely to pull the plug on a rally early because they're tired. Or the player who's less likely to make an error mid-rally because their feet are tired. Or in general, you know, their upper body, their core is tired. So, you know, they get off balance when they hit a shot. Or they go for too much because they're feeling it in the lungs. Great fitness is rewarded even more so on clay. So that's why I put Martin Fucsovics as the dark horse. Upset alert, none. I kind of liked the seeds here. I mean, I could have put Basilashvili, but I thought that was just redundant if I'm going to put Fucsovics as the dark horse.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But Dominic Thiem, as the best clay court player in this quarter by a good amount, he's my pick to come out of it. Okay, the next quarter is the most interesting quarter in the draw. It's incredibly compelling, in my opinion, because I think it could get crazy. It's Sasha Zverev's quarter, who's in a huge slump, and I'm guessing someone will comment about it, and I'll talk about it. His top seeds are Nishikori, Chorich, and Fanini. And I think that there are a good amount of dark horses in here, and I think there could be a good amount of upsets. My winner is FAA. I said it in Miami. I was correct about it. I'm going to hop on the Felix train right now, and we're going to see if I'm proven wrong. But right now, to me, I'm making the leap, and I'm treating FAA like he's one of the better players in the sport. And he hasn't proven that. I mean, don't get me wrong. He has not shown that. He's had a good last 2 months, but he has not shown he's one of the best players on tour. I'm making the leap myself, and I think he is. And again, you know, I was thinking about this. I've had 2 weeks to think about this. The best players in the sport, the greatest players in the sport, are elite at so many things, and those things often don't go together. And in the simplest way I can put it, great defense and great offense are inherently don't go together. Players who hit bigger serves and bigger ground strokes are generally slower because they got more mass on them. They got more body weight on them. Players who are lightning quick and play great defense generally don't have heavy ground strokes and don't have big serves. They don't find offense as easy. Why? Because they're small and they're quick. This is, and then the elite players in the game are both. Easy offense, lightning quickness, with great defensive skills. And no weaknesses, no holes, great racket skills. So there's our 2 minutes of FAA praise, which has kind of become a weekly thing. The other dark horse, I just want to give a shout out to Zhao Munar. Munar is not very young. He's taken a while now because I think he's 22 years old now, if I'm not mistaken. This is a guy who, if you don't know his name, you should, because he'll be a competitor on clay courts for years to come. You know, he's someone who grew up at the Rafa Nadal Academy in Spain, and he's a good clay court player, a good young clay court player with a good forehand, pretty good serve. The backhand is a lot weaker, but he can wait to set up the forehand. And mentally, he's really, really strong, and he's willing to grind. He's willing to suffer. He's got that classic Spanish mentality, and he likes the clay court. So he's someone worth mentioning. He can do some damage. Upset alert, I have Kei Nishikori. Nishikori could face Verdasco in the second round. He has the bye as the 5 seed. Verdasco will play PH Herbert in the first round. So if Verdasco comes through that and plays Kei Nishikori, I think Verdasco can give Nishi some trouble. Nishikori's had a disappointing year, and I think Verdasco's forehand can get up high on Nishikori's backhand. And I love the Nishikori backhand. It's a great shot. But I feel like Verdasco can pin Nishikori in that corner and dictate with his forehand. Because when Nishikori is put on the run on the backhand side, and when you can get it up high, and he's obviously only 5'10", he can leave some balls in the middle. So I could see Verdasco really controlling the middle of the court in that match with his forehand. Let's take a look, since I said that Felix would come out of this quarter. That's my prediction. Let's just take a look at his path. In the second round, he would draw Zverev, the number 3 seed. And right now, I don't know how you couldn't favor Felix against Sasha Zverev. He's playing better tennis. Zverev can't build, you know, he has no momentum right now. He's in a massive slump. And I guess, again, I don't want to talk about it right now. I want to save it because I'm previewing the draw, and I bet I've got comments about that. But right now, if Felix isn't the favorite, you're just kind of ignoring the form that these two are in. Where's Zverev? I lost him. Oh, here he is. Borna Coric is in this quarter. He could face Munar in the next round. So that'll be an interesting one. Coric, that's a tough draw for Coric to get Munar in the second round. And I really think that the top of this bracket with Coric and Nishikori, it could get kind of jacked up. But I wouldn't be surprised if Coric made the quarterfinals. But if Felix gets through Zverev, He's got a pretty good go of things. Fanini is his closest seed, who's been struggling. He's playing Andrei Rublev right now, so we'll see what happens in that match. He's got Gilles Simon, who, you know, he's a threat, obviously. He's a decent clay court player, but he's probably a little bit better on hard courts when he can generate a little bit more offense with his counterpunching style. But FAA has a pretty good draw if he can get through Zverev, which I don't think Zverev's that bad a draw right now. Okay. One last look at Zverev's quarter. And let's move on to the next. Rafa Nadal's quarter, the final quarter. Top seeds are Cilic, Checkinato, and Shapovalov. And I'm pretty confident Rafa Nadal is ready for this tournament. He's been training, it seems, at a pretty high intensity for a pretty long time now. And I'm referring to getting back, you know, having to pull out of Miami after losing at Indian Wells. And I'm a little bit fuzzy on exactly what happened with Rafa at Indian Wells. For some reason, I'm not remembering. But he's been training at high intensity for a long time now. He's going to be ready for this. He's done this before. This is a classic when you give Rafa 2-3 weeks to train hard on clay and to work on his game, he's going to come out here in Monte Carlo. He's going to look amazing. He's going to look ready to go. He's going to be fresh. He's on his favorite surface. He's going to look healthy. And I think he's going to tear through this draw. Oh, right. He had to pull out against Federer in the semifinal. That's what happened. I couldn't remember. Dark horse. This is another obvious one. Who's the best unseeded player in this quarter? It's obviously Stan Wawrinka. Upset alert. I wasn't really sure where to go here because Cilic, I mean, he plays probably Pela, who took him out at Wimbledon in the second round. But I mean, I don't see any major threats for Marin Cilic. I just kind of put him in here because Cilic has been on upset alert, I guess, all year. So we'll see if he can start to thwart the bad momentum here in the clay court season. Cilic isn't an awful clay court player. It takes a little bit away from his game, but doesn't take away too much from his game. I mean, he can still play first strike tennis and punishing offense. Early popcorn matches, Wawrinka, Checkinato, that's going to be huge hitting in the second round if that matchup happens. A pair of one-handed backhands, and they're going to be absolutely bashing the ball. So that's my early popcorn match. Let's go to the second weekend now. Here's how I see things playing out. I favor Dominic Thiem over Novak Djokovic right now. I anticipate that Djokovic is going to look better, but I still think that this is going to be a matter of Djokovic rounding into form as the clay court season progresses. And I think he'll be better. He'll be ready for Roland Garros. He'll be ready for the French. But I would have trouble seeing him in the state that he was in 2 weeks ago, turning it around and being able to compete with Dominic Thiem, who should be feeling really good about where he's at right now heading into the clay court season. He's never had a better go of things heading into his favorite part of the season, the European clay court swing. So Thiem should be feeling great and should, you know, if he makes the semifinals, he should feel good against Djokovic. I like the way Dominic Thiem's game matches up against Djokovic. I'll talk about that at a future date. So I would have Thiem beating Djokovic in 3 sets. This is the first time in a little while that I'm not picking Djokovic at the beginning of a tournament. It's been a little while. Nadal and Felix. I think that Rafa could probably do to Felix it's hard to say, but I think that Felix, most of the matches he's played have been on his racket, and Nadal's forehand on clay can take the racket out of Felix's hands to a greater extent than we've seen, and it's a different experience. Something that Felix hasn't experienced, playing Nadal on the dirt. He's got to experience it. He wouldn't beat Nadal first time playing him on clay. You got to experience that, feel that. The way the ball jumps off the court, and obviously I haven't experienced it, but when you listen to people who experience it for the first time, the way the ball jumps off the court the constant pressure that you feel when you play Rafa on clay, you need to experience that. You know, that's hard. That's hard to just jump on the court and you feel that, and it feels very different from really anything you felt on a tennis court. Even the trajectory of the ball that you're hitting, the way it kicks up, the way it picks up speed after the bounce. I mean, that's different. That's tough to handle. So Nadal takes out FAA in the semis, and then Nadal beats Dominic Thiem in three sets. This is a slower clay court. It's similar to Roland Garros. It's not like Rome and Madrid, which are a lot faster than Roland Garros. This clay court is most similar to Roland Garros in its speed. And we've seen Nadal have a lot more success over Dominic Thiem at Roland Garros and on this clay court in Monte Carlo. So Rafa takes out Thiem in three sets. I think Rafa wins Monte Carlo. And I feel pretty confident. I really think that he's going to be 110% ready to play this tournament and look great, just based on how much time he's had to train and how well he's done this in the past. When you give Rafa time to prepare and work on his game, he comes back. It doesn't matter, even coming from injury. He comes back ready, and he'll come back ready. Let's get to comments.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Drinking some black coffee. How will Federer's backhand perform on dirt? Given that he has won Miami predominantly using slice against big guys, which wouldn't work on high bouncing surface such as clay, will he need the 2017 backhand that he has lost somehow? Thank you for the question, Muhammad. I think Federer has done a really good job recognizing whether or not the slice backhand is a viable play and either using it or not using it. So two guys he's played recently on hard courts is Denis Shapovalov and Dominic Thiem in the Indian Wells final. Obviously, one of those matches he didn't win. But in general, I think that in those two matches against players where the slice is ineffective, he had no problem recognizing that and ditching it. When he's played Rafa Nadal in 2017, he's had no problem ditching the backhand. And I think he'll continue that. You're correct that the clay court mitigates the effectiveness of Federer's slice as an offensive weapon, as an aggressive tool, because the ball doesn't really stay as low and skid off the court, and it loses more pace. So as a rhythm changer, the slice backhand works on clay, because the ball really just, to me, slice on clay, the ball just, it loses all its pace, all of it. So in some ways that's good, because it's hard to attack, and it changes up the rhythm of the shot, so it can throw off the timing. It's not good, though, as an offensive tool, because it loses so much pace and it doesn't skid. It's almost like if you've ever played a feeding drill and you've had to generate all your pace because your coach is just hand-feeding it. That's like what hitting slices on clay courts. It's hard. It's tired. It's exhausting to generate all your own pace. So clay can be effective, but the way Federer uses that as an offensive tool, that will not work on clay. Does he need to find his 2017 backhand? He always needs to find his 2017 backhand. That's always beneficial. Doesn't matter what surface. Also, though, when it comes to generating his own pace, I think that Federer's backhand, he's better at using his opponent's pace against in his favor on his backhand. So even the fact that he needs to generate more of his own pace on his topspin backhand, that isn't as good for Federer's backhand. The fact that it bounces high, not as good for Federer's backhand. It's simply, plain and simple, a weaker shot on clay. OCS says, Gil, I'd love to hear your verdict on my theory. Nadal can't win on clay if he faces Djokovic. The mental game is too strong, and I don't think a surface can turn around what happened at AO, Australian Open. Of course, Nadal can still dominate on clay, but Nole is his Achilles heel. In general, I pretty much agree. I pretty much agree that what happened in Australia has lasting and damaging effects. There is scar tissue there. You don't forget that. You don't walk away from that the same player that you went into it mentally. And Nadal needs to hope and pray that he plays Djokovic before the French Open and that he erases that memory. And it'll never be fully erased, obviously, but if he plays at the French Open and it's the first time they've played since Australia, that's not good. That wouldn't be good for Nadal, because there will be mental scar tissue from that match because Djokovic ran him off the court, and that's damaging. Losses are damaging, but losses like that are especially damaging. I take issue with the word can't, though. Nadal can't beat Djokovic on clay. Don't say can't, because that's definitely not true. But yeah, if they played at Roland Garros tomorrow, I think Nadal would win because Nadal's in so much better form, in my opinion. I bet we're going to see better form from Nadal. So after what we saw from Djokovic, my whole tomorrow theory, I actually like Nadal to win if they played tomorrow. But if I'm saying who's my Roland Garros pick like right now, I imagine Djokovic rounds back into form. And then we'll see what Nadal has to offer. Right now, I'm not sure. But it's interesting. Who will sit in the Iron Throne? Is this a Game of Thrones question? I don't watch Game of Thrones. I don't really have time to watch shows in my life. So Game of Thrones, look, it sounds great. Sounds very, very exciting, but I do not watch it, and I don't watch shows. In my leisure time, I mean, I have to watch a lot of sports for what I do and a lot of tennis for what I do, obviously. In my leisurely time, when I want to get away, I watch a lot of stand-up comedy on Netflix, but I don't watch Game of Thrones. Sap Save. Do you think the ATP ranking system should be changed? I personally think that they should, as they don't really represent the top 10 too well in terms of best in the world. For example, we all know Zverev is absolute crap right now and he is world number 3, while Fed might be in the best form in the ATP and is number 4. What I think should happen to fix this change is that the season rankings are the race to London rankings. This makes a bit more realistic, as you couldn't rely on performances from the previous season to help you. And there is also the fact that in almost every other sport, their team slash player start from scratch in the beginning of the season. Big fan of the show, been watching for almost a year now. Thank you. Here's the problem with that. So whatever surface you would start on, that would be an advantage to the players who are good on that surface. So because the season starts on hard court, if the Race to London standings were used for tournament seeding instead of the ATP World Tour rankings, I think FedEx sponsors those. The FedEx rankings, right? If the London rankings were used, then the clay court players who did great on clay courts last year wouldn't be rewarded for doing great on clay courts last year. They wouldn't have those rankings points. They would have lower seeds coming into these tournaments like Monte Carlo and Madrid and Rome, and that wouldn't be fair. It would be skewed for the good hard court players because the season starts on hard court. I don't think there's a problem with the rankings. Look, if Zverev continues this form, he'll be out of the top 10 before you know it. If he continues to play how he has at the beginning of the season, he will be out of the top 10 before the end of the year. I think this ranking system works. In Federer's case, It's the points from the clay court season. Federer's going to go up if he has a decent clay court season, because he's obviously defending 0 points every time he makes a semifinal at a Masters event, he's going to gain a ton of points. So you're about to see Federer probably go up and Zverev probably go down. Right now, yes, the ranking systems, the rankings are a little bit off. But I think they'll correct themselves pretty quickly. And I think that our ranking system is pretty good. Zverev versus Felix Auger, who will win? Look, Sasha Zverev isn't finding offense right now. He has no net game, and he has no forehand. His forehand is too safe, too spinny, and too inconsistent. It's a mess right now. And when you have no forehand and no net game, and you don't serve like John Isner, and look, his backhand just isn't enough to create a requisite, or I don't know if requisite is the right word, but his backhand isn't enough for offensive output. He has no offensive output. He really can't hurt anyone right now because he has no forehand. Because he can't hurt people with his forehand, for the most part, with any consistency. And that's a tough place to be. Because he is not a cardio machine. He is not, I mean, he can be extremely consistent, but he is not as fast as you need to be if you have no offense around the court. His defense is not elite. He's in a tough spot right now where he just doesn't have that much to offer right now because he can't generate offense at the moment. Because he can't finish at the net at all, and he really can't step in, attack a short ball, and use his forehand to do damage. That's a really tough spot to be. Felix, right now, he should win that match. I think Felix would win that match. Let's try to get to a few more. I'll try to go really fast. Do you think Djokovic will make it far? What about Rafa? Who can challenge him early on? I think Djokovic will make the semis, lose the team. Rafa, I think, will win. Team versus Djokovic, who will get more ATP points in the clay court season? That's a really good, that's an interesting question. Again, I think Djokovic, it's going to be a progression. Like, I think Djokovic will win Rome. I'll say that right now. Let's say Djokovic will win Rome, but I don't think he's going to win this tournament. And I probably wouldn't pick him at Madrid. But I think it's going to be progression. Rounding back into form, getting back into shape. I don't know why he... I mean, look, there are reasons. The majors are his priority right now. And, I mean, again, you know my thing with the Sunshine Double. I think he got out of shape. If Rafa is completely fit and plays his 100% game, do you think Djokovic or team can beat him? History would suggest no. I think we've seen enough. We've seen enough 100% Rafa beating those two on clay. Now, team has made a jump, but let's remember, he's never been really close to Rafa now the last 2 years on clay. It's been pretty straightforward for Nadal. Next gen guys on clay... I think Felix is going to be really good on clay. I think that Chorich should be decent on clay. I think Tsitsipas should be decent on clay. I think Shapovalov, the surface takes away a lot. I think Medvedev, the surface takes away. Am I forgetting someone? I probably am. I usually do. But yeah. That's what I got. And then some people were asking for the French Open power rankings. Let me try to pull this up before this video ends. Or you know what? Let me make another video. I'm going to end Monday Match Analysis here and make a separate video that will be the French Open power rankings. Hope you enjoyed this. Don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you next time.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.